Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky,
other names. Trade addicts pie, let's go.
Hi, I'm Scott Sidlow, and I have a trading problem.
Fancy meeting you here. My name is Drew Prawl, and I also have a trading problem.
Good evening, and welcome to episode 208 of the Trade Addicts Podcast. This is half your B-Squad in the house tonight. Your man, Scott Sidlow, and of course, it's a DAP takeover, baby. We've got Drew in the house.
Yeah.
What's up, Drew?
Oh, you know, just another night to talk some football and count the days until some fun stuff happens next week.
We're getting close, man. I can feel it. It's that time of year. Everybody's overthinking everything. Everybody's getting on needless fights on Twitter because we've watched too many film rooms and run too many models and talked about too many prospects, you know, and it's just that crazy time of year, right? So, yeah, you know, Russ and Rocky needed a night off. They're like doing some fun stuff, like meeting up in person or something. I mean, I don't, what is that? I mean,
who does that?
This is 2022. We don't need to meet up in person. I mean, I don't know. It's weird. It's
so 2019.
Really, really. Yeah, it is. It is, guys. I mean, come on. So, you know, hey, we got the DAP guys in the house. We fill in when we need to, and we're going to have some fun. So we'll do some traditional trade addict stuff, and, you know, we'll do a little bit of, we'll kind of mix in our own stuff too. So we have a lot of listener questions, which is awesome. We have a ton of trades that we're going to get to, which is, I mean, hey, Trade Addicts, baby. That's what we do. So I want to talk about something. First, I guess we should mention, you know, like, is there any news, anything that jumps out that's like, hey, this is newsworthy? I mean, everything right now is like, oh, this guy's visiting. These rookies are visiting these teams, and we're going to start getting these smoke screens coming out. That's smoke screen season is coming up here. But, you know, anything worthwhile here for us in the Dynasty community, Drew?
No, man. At this point, no news is good news. Hope everybody stays healthy. Try to get those last minute trades in before your league mates see some landing spots.
That's right. Yeah. If you have some conviction on some of these things, this is the time to make these trades, you know, whether you're trading for or trading away. If you have that delineation that we've been talking about on junkies, where we're kind of, you know, 108, something like that, you know, whatever that is for you. I mean, this is the time to get that done. I'm definitely seeing trades happening right now with rookie picks, right? Guys are starting to get that itch,
yep.
That rookie fever. You know, before landing spots, they're trying to get in, and you know, hey, it's a good time to buy vets too. So if you're a contending team and you can get a productive player that's going to give you a few good years, you know, in most cases that works out better than your late first. So, you know, I have no issue
absolutely
with that.
Absolutely.
So, you know, this is Trade Addicts, right? And we want to talk about crazy trades. And our good friend Dustin Church, I want to talk about this guy here, because you got to hear this crazy story. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing because it's wild. But essentially, here's what happened. So it's a 12 team, 30 man roster, 4 taxi squad. It's a start 11 league, so it's super flex. You could start one or two quarterbacks, right? But then there's a zero minimum. So you don't have to start a running back, or you don't have to start a receiver, or you don't have to start a tight end. So the roster build can go so many different directions here. You can pretty much do anything, right? There's no wrong way to do it. And the scoring is like this. It's a tiered PPR. So running backs are half PPR, but also 0.25 point per carry. Wide receivers are the traditional PPR, and tight ends are 2.0. So they get a 1 point premium. So those tight ends, especially the top ones, are going to be very valuable. Again, this just opens it up to craziness, right? Like you can build this any direction. So Drew, are you in a lot of leagues like this, or is this something that you're like, I don't know, it's too crazy, or I don't
I've only got a couple that are tiered, and I think I'm coming around to the tiered PPR model. I don't have any point per carry yet. Which I'd be interested in, but I do have I'm mostly in super flex tight end premium, and I prefer the heavier premiums at this point, 1.75, 2.0. So some that are similar, but nothing quite like this.
I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you for sure. I think I actually like the tiered system like that. And I think it helps giving a little PPC to the running backs. If you're taking away some of their PPR and you're adding that, it actually gives it a bigger pool if you think about it, right? Because even like the Peyton Barbers of the world now, if they're getting, you know, 15, 18 carries, now that has some value, right? Because you're getting a little bit for those carries. So again, just gives you different options, different ways to build things. I mean, if you're starting Peyton Barber, you're probably not winning anything anyway, but you know, hey, it's out there, right?
It's an option.
But the start 11 with having those minimums is just crazy. You know, not being locked into anything. I think the thing for me is that I don't get to have an advantage. You know, whereas I know there are certain spots I can have that advantage, or I can trade for that advantage at those positions. But when it's wide open like that, like, what do you do? What strategy do you take? Like, which direction do you go? I mean, you know, obviously you're going to want two strong quarterbacks regardless, but you know, unless you're Rocky, because Rocky hates quarterbacks. So
unless they're 40 years old,
right? Of course. Of
breaking
course.
Records.
How lucky is he that Tom Brady came back?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it just went from having like eight rebuilds to like eight. He's still can hang in there. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I'm in a league with him where he had his top two quarterbacks were Ben and Brady last year. And I thought I had an extra quarterback sitting there, and I was like, man, I could get Rocky over a barrel this summer.
Not quite.
Not so much.
Maybe next year. Yeah. Maybe not. Who knows? I guess Brady's never going to. You know, I mean, hey, there's that whole thing that Brady never even really retired.
He did.
Maybe that's a different
problem. I'm just glad he's out of the AFC East.
That's right. Yeah. Well, yeah, welcome to the NFC. Yeah, take the easy path, Tom. Jeez. Well, okay. So I want to get back to this league here. The startup was in February of 21. So we're talking 14 months ago. And Dustin traded away all of his 22 and 23 picks at the time. So essentially, he was trading his future picks to get into the startup or move up in the startup to get more players. In general, that could be a great strategy, right? Because you're just going to you're going to trade away your future, but you're going to get those vets right now, and likely you're going to compete right away. Well, except by like May of the same year, May of last year. So we're talking 3 months later. We had not been anywhere near the season yet. He made five trades on one day, giving away players for picks, and then 10 more trades through June 16, moving mostly players for picks. So you're talking, he did the startup in February, and by June, pretty much completely changed strategies. And now here I am thinking, hey, I have most of his picks. So for me, this was wonderful because he's accumulating all these other picks, but like at the same time, I have his. So I ended up with the 101 and 102 this year. So maybe not the year to brag about that, but you know, it is what it is, right? And so now this is the crazy thing, that it just goes to show that whatever's happening in your league, you know, you got to look to take advantage. Now I can't say I've ever made this many trades in this short period of a time, but he obviously saw an opportunity here and went for it. So like end of the year, like December, end of December, early January, he started making a couple value deals, right? Looking for some undervalued players, picking up some more future picks, and just a couple small little trades, right? And now he's got all this ammunition. And so here we are on April 19th, and April 3rd, he starts to make a trade. And then he makes a couple more trades, and then a couple more trades. And he makes a series of 20 trades from April 3rd to April 10th, most of those within a two-day period, moving a total of 24 players and 34 picks, some of them twice, because he traded them, reacquired them, and traded them again. God. And, I mean, this just sounds wild, right? Like, who does this? Or why would you even, you know, but that's trade addicts, man. Like, it is. There's no other definition for it. Like, that is
poster boy right there.
And then, you know, sometimes you say, man, well, people just trade to trade, you know, like, you just trade to trade. I don't know that you really did anything with it. But looking at his roster from even the end of last year, where he had maybe like four decent players and a whole bunch of draft capital, and now he has a roster. Now he could compete. Like, it's wild. I was going to go through it and say, like, hey, here's what he had and here's what he traded and here's what, but there's just so many pieces. It would take us 2 hours to get through all that. But it's totally crazy to see that. But here's the thing. You have a league like this with wide open, you know, settings and setup to be able to build your roster however you want. You have an active league, right? And then you can just go wide open. You can just go nuts and make all these crazy trades. So, you know, I'm going to reach out to Dustin and see what his thought process was on that and just see, you know.
That requires a thread. That should be a 40 post thread on Twitter.
Yeah, no, it's going to, yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, it just goes to show you get in the right leagues or the right scenarios, like anything can happen, but it's very interesting to see someone change complete strategy so much. So I think it kind of goes back to, you know, we're getting in startup season. We're talking rookies for sure. Lots of rookie drafts coming up. It's like, don't worry too much about like right now, right? Because obviously you could see what somebody can do in April, you know, or even change strategies like three times before the season even starts. So, you know, you got to make the best deals every day, right? So whether you're making trades or whether you're making your draft picks, draft for value, trade for need. We talk about it all the time. That's like a premise of the DAP network, right? Which is, that's like what we do, right?
100%.
And it's just, this is the perfect example of that. It's the perfect example to say, hey, we can, you can't just, people get so caught up in it, you know, like this time of year, I'm just seeing the craziest things with people getting so caught up in all this. And it's like, you know what, just make the best picks and then you'll figure it out, you know, and these guys don't even have to hit necessarily because you're going to trade them before the season starts anyway. Right.
Yep.
But don't worry about what your roster looks like. It's April. You got a long way to go. Don't worry about how many running backs you have. Don't worry about who your tight end is. Just, you know, make the picks, make the deals, make it happen. And with that, we have a lot of trade addicts trades. I know Rocky wanted me to wait on those. So we're going to talk about a couple and then we'll go to the listener questions and we'll come back to the trades. So we'll do a little bit of everything here, but we're talking trading and I want to get into a couple here. So, Trade Addicts One, is the only Trade Addicts league without the, return yardage, but otherwise these are all 12 team, PPR 1.75 tight end premium. And Trade Addicts One, we had to trade Antonio Gibson for Chris Godwin. Just straight up, that simple, running back for receiver. Who you got, Drew?
Oof. Oh, man, that's tough because they both have some question marks, right? I think, you know, people are thinking that Washington may grab themselves another running back this year, which would kind of add to the mix. They brought back J.D. McKissick already. You know, Godwin we'll see outside the injury, and then, you know, some of that depends on who his quarterback is. I will typically take the receiver though, in most cases, especially when they're similar value. I just think they have a longer shelf life. You know, Godwin could survive a tough year, tough recovery, come back a year later and still put up a couple of more productive seasons. Gibson could be, you know, his probability of being out of the league in a season or two is much higher than Godwin's. So for guys that are both talented that a lot of people like, I think I would take the value on the wide receiver in this case and let Godwin, you know, let Godwin be Godwin. And then who knows what you can get for him. You know, maybe he comes back. It's a good video of recovery early in the season. And, you know, if you're not competing, you can hold him and keep points off your bench. If he's ready to play, you can turn him into something for next year.
So I 100% agree. I'm going to go Godwin here, but I'm kind of a Godwin stan, to be honest with you. And not that I don't like Gibson. I do. But I just think, I don't know why people are so down on Godwin. I've been able to get him super cheap in auctions, dispersals, and startups and everything. So I'm loading up on my Godwin shares. Yeah, he's coming off the injury. You know, people keep saying, well, how long is Tom Brady going to play? How many years have we been saying that? Like, just don't worry about it. Just collect the talent and we'll figure it out later. It's crazy that like people are like, well, you know, when Brady leaves, you know, that's it. You know, that's it for the, how do you know that? How do you know that? You know, they'll probably get Jameis Winston back, you know, at some point, who knows, but I mean, it's a fluid situation. It's not like, oh, a great quarterback leaves, so that's it.
There's no guarantees any year.
He'll not have a great quarterback for 10 more years, you know?
All of us who survived, Andrew Luck leaving in preseason know that.
Exactly.
Nothing is guaranteed.
Exactly. Yeah. Those of us who got lucked. That is a tough one. That was a tough one. So the reason I wanted to jump in to this trade first right away is because I just made a trade and I just said I've been acquiring a lot of Godwin shares, right? And so I actually just traded one away. Ooh. And so I wanted to get your thoughts on this trade, Drew. And that's why I jumped into this one here first. So the trade is I traded away J.K. Dobbins and Chris Godwin. And I got back the holy Ramondre Stevenson, T.J. Hockenson, the 108, and a third, a 301. So basically I gave up a running back and my beloved Godwin for – essentially, TJ Hockenson. I wanted to figure out my tight end situation, knowing I'm not probably not getting one in this rookie draft. That's going to help me right now. The 108 is kind of like my cutoff to say, like, all right, we'll see how this draft capital and these landing spots play out. So I just felt like I'm always the guy who's moving away from running backs. So I know that's unpopular and people love Dobbins and all that. So that's fine. So I think the value is probably on his side. Like, I probably lost a little bit there. But Drew, I'm curious on yours. So again, Dobbins and Godwin for Ramondre Hockenson, the 108.
I don't hate it. I like Hockenson in general. He and Fant both, I think, have some question marks based on quarterback play, you know, kind of what's in their future, but they're both young talents. They both went to a program that traditionally churns out really good tight ends. So, if anything, Hockenson has had a better career start so far. He's flashed a little bit more. So I love getting him where I can, if I can get him reasonably. If I have Godwin, I get the 108 back for him right now. I probably see it as a wash. I think once you get on the clock as well, the 108, it's possible you could pull a Dustin Church here and, you know, send the 108 back and get maybe Godwin in a piece or something, depending on who's sitting there, right? So, you know, Ramondre in the third, whatever, you know, if Ramondre gets you a couple of weeks of usage, depending on what Belichick's mood is, great. Running backs get injured. There's so many that get to play and get to score points throughout the year. So that's great. So I like that, not knowing what the rest of your roster looks like. And again, I know we're talking, you know, draft for value, trade for need when you need to, but you know, that's where you find the value dips too, right? People are looking to get, maybe this person really thinks they're getting a steal on Dobbins this year. He's going to be a high producer, trying to buy a little bit low if, you know, maybe you're concerned about Gordon showing up there or somebody else. But I think overall I like that for you, assuming that you've got, you know, the rest of your roster pretty well in order. And then I think, you know, in a trade actually, you never know what happens when you're on the clock.
That's right. And I mean, that's really the way that I'm looking at it, from the standpoint of, you know, the top tight ends are hard to get. And I know, yeah, it's crazy because people always say, oh, we got to wait on these tight ends. You know, they take a few years, and then we're a few years in and they're like, oh yeah, this guy's no good. Like, well, you just said we had to wait a few years. So which one is it? And the fact that he's had a top five finish at the position, I mean, obviously the potential's there, right? We've seen him do it. So I did try to get Andrews first, in all fairness, and I pretty much got laughed at, which is totally fair. I get it. I would have done the same thing, right? But this guy had Andrews and Hockenson, so I essentially resent the trade with Hock in there instead, and we were able to get the deal
That's
done.
That's great. Shoot your shot, and then, sometimes you get surprised, and then other times you can land in a good spot. So
that's right. Yeah, and I mean, it makes sense in the standpoint. Now I can go either direction, I feel like. Mm-hmm. I feel like it gives me – this is an orphan that I took over. recently. And so that's how I even had Dobbins in the first place, because I'm not a Dobbins guy. So I wouldn't have had him. But I just felt like now I can say, all right, I got a little bit, maybe not even necessarily younger. I mean, I guess I got younger, right? A rookie.
You definitely gained
younger
years
than Godwin, right? Yeah. So I guess I got younger, but I also just have different assets that I can turn into anything. So just like you said, that 108 can now become something else if I want it to. So that's exactly it. That's what we're trying to do this time of year. Not just about drafting for value, but it's about trading for value and giving us those flexible assets, right? Yeah. And so a wide receiver is a wide receiver, but a pick can become something else. It could be a wide receiver, but it could be something else too. So that's where I like that flexibility.
Could be Sam Howell if you're in a super flex.
Sam Howell. It could be a Sam Howell that just sits on my taxi squad for 2 years and then he does nothing, and then I cut him. So no, I don't know. I like Sam Howell. I don't know why I said that, but hey, whatever. You never know with these guys.
Yep.
Okay, let's do a couple more of these trades, and then we've got a couple listener questions that I want to mix in here. So
okay,
Trade Addicts 2. Here, this is a good one. Lamar Jackson, Darnell Mooney, and a 23 third for Tua, Mark Andrews, and a 24 second. So Drew, I'll let you start on that one.
Man. So Tua and Andrews or Lamar and Mooney. Man, that is tough because you're looking at a top three asset in a couple of positions there. Tight end premium, super flex. So Lamar and Andrews are both very valuable at their positions. You know, Lamar maybe is top five, not top three, depending on how you rank your quarterbacks. Gosh, I would say I am probably on the Andrews side here with the premium. I think, you know, I like Tua. I like his chances with what they're building around him. So I know this is kind of a make or break year for him. And, you know, I could listen to this a year from now and sound like a total idiot. But he is, you know, at the very least, he's going to be a solid quarterback too, I think, for most rosters. And, you know, hopefully he reaches maybe his ceiling of being a top 15 kind of guy and you pair him with another solid quarterback. But taking him and then getting Andrews that, you know, is locked in. And we saw Andrews do really well last year, whether it was Lamar, whether it was any of the backups that played in his place, he produced. That's just what the guy does. You know, he won a lot of people, a lot of weeks in the eliminators that I had him. He saved me in a couple of weeks by himself. So I think that's probably where I land. I probably have a little recency bias in there, just knowing how much time Lamar missed last year. And, you know, there's this weird razor's edge of how much you want to see your quarterback run and be physical, right? And I think quarterbacks are getting smarter in general. We're seeing maybe fewer risks. We're not seeing like the RG3s that are just taking a pounding. You know, people are learning if you want to have that second contract, you got to be able to stay standing, you know, for that second contract. So I think Lamar will probably have a pretty decent career, but there's just so much that you expose yourself to. It's just that risk reward piece, right? There's the Konami code that certainly can win you weeks as well. But then you know, all he's got to do is sprain a knee for a few weeks, and all of a sudden you're down to whoever your third or fourth quarterback is. So yeah, that's kind of the thought process I go through there. You know, I like Mooney. I'm curious to see what Chicago does at the wide receiver position this year. Sent Allen Robinson off, which is, I think, good for everybody involved there. We'll see how Fields pans out. I love Fields, and I think he'll make people better around him. But, yeah, I'll take Tua, who I know will be a starter. I'll take Andrews, and then the picks at this point, I, you know, the third and the 24 second. So it's a wash for me. I'm not smart enough to think that far ahead.
Yeah, so I don't really disagree with anything you said, but I want to bring up something that I was reading. I was frantically searching Twitter, hoping I could find it. And I did. I found it. It's here. I can reference it. So I'm not sure who had the original tweet or what the premise was, but I know one of our good friends, Shane Swagger, jumped into it and put some data on here and some context. So I personally like Lamar Jackson. I personally have him as a top five, maybe seven at worst, but probably top five quarterback. And yet I see some interesting things for him. So somebody had pointed out, and this is where you can kind of, this is where everybody does the pick your stats to prove your point, right? Sure. So you had one person saying he started the last seven games of 2018. That was his start, right? Then 2019, he has the best fantasy quarterback season ever. Then 2020, he was QB9 in points per game, and 21 QB7 in points per game. And so we're saying if he's a top five quarterback, you know, he had that one season, but has he really lived up to that, or has he gotten there? And I mean, honestly, if I take him as my quarterback five and he gives me a quarterback seven season, I'm really not mad about it. So mm-hmm. I guess I don't understand what the thing is there, but here's the interesting data and the finishes that was pointed out. Shane pointed out on here. He listed each week last season and what his quarterback finish was. And he was pretty much, he was outside the top 11 in all but 3 weeks. And where he was 1 and 2, two twice, and quarterback 1 once. So he gave you 3 really good performances that won you the week. But I mean, now what I would say is, can we go through all the quarterbacks and see what those were, right? Because I mean, you're talking, how many times did Russell Wilson do that too, where he had 3 weeks where he won you the week, and then the rest of them he was, you know, probably a QB2, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, and again, when I say it that way, is he didn't have anything above the QB11, but think about this. It was 13, 14, 13, 18, 12, 11, 18, 13. So he was a low end one or a high end two, and never worse than 18 that one week that he was that low. So it's like, yeah, give me that floor, right? I mean, that's what the rushing does for you, and it gives you that floor. So I'm not really sure. Again, I don't know what the context was or the original tweet, or if this was supposed to be a negative Lamar Jackson thing, but for me, I was like, no, this is great. This proves my point. This is why I like him, because he gives you that high floor every week, right? And that's the rushing part of it. Yeah, I understand he gets hurt, whatever. I get it. Running quarterbacks, longevity, blah, blah, blah. I will take Lamar over Tua, hands down. Yeah, again, I'm not a Tua guy. I've been getting some hate for that, but like, honestly, he's a lefty, so what's he gonna do? It's not his fault. He was born that way. I mean, you can't change that. And I joke about that, but listen, you got to give the Dolphins credit for doing absolutely everything to say we're gonna surround this dude with everything, a line, weapons, all that. So we're gonna find out real fast.
Yeah.
So here's the issue for me with Tua from a dynasty perspective, from a value perspective, we may be 6 or 8 games into this season and he may essentially have zero value. I mean, if he just comes out and totally tanks, what are you going to do with him? You can't trade him, you know? And certainly after this season, if he doesn't produce, it's over. Like, what are you going to do? So, you know, if he comes through and he's a low end QB1, it's like, okay, you got yourself a QB1. You know, but that's like his upside, right? That's like his ceiling. Mm-hmm. I don't see how he gets to a top five, top seven, top eight. I really don't see how he gets there, because he's not going to give you anything with his legs. And then, you know, his downside, or there's no in between, right? He's either going to be good, but it's not great, or he's just going to be gone and that's it. And he's not going to have any value. So, you know, to me, that's more risk than I'm willing to take on typically when I'm in a trade scenario where I can get the player that has that floor. But I understand people say they have concerns about Lamar. So, okay, I get it. Because on the other side here, I'm a huge Mark Andrews guy, and I will take him hands down over just about any other player, just because of the scarcity at tight end.
Yeah.
So especially a Darnell Mooney, because Mooney is a dime a dozen, honestly. Yeah. He's a great player for the Bears. You know, I live here in Chicago. I'm a season ticket holder. I've seen every single snap of Darnell Mooney. He's a really good player. And he's really small. And he just fell into the perfect scenario last year. And it's just not going to happen again. So will he be a nice NFL player and a good piece for Fields? That's the hope. Yes, I believe so. But fantasy-wise, as a fantasy asset, I just don't think he's ever anything more than a wide receiver three. Mm-hmm. I think he'll give you those weeks, almost more of like a best ball guy, yep. right?
I like about to say that,
yep. perfect best ball guy, but I don't know when I'm starting him because I don't know what else. Now, maybe this season he gets that consistency, but I'm going to put him on the same level as all the rookies that come in. I'm assuming they're going to draft at least one, maybe yep. two receivers, right? And add some other guys. And it's a new system. So it's not like he's a year ahead. He doesn't have that advantage. It's a brand new system. So I'll put him on the same level there with the learning curve. And, you know, maybe he has a little rapport with Fields, but yeah, I don't know that matters. I mean,
he understands the NFL at least a little differently.
Yeah, yeah. So he has the slight edge there, but I'm all about moving Mooney. And when I can get, you know, a piece like Andrews, I understand why this deal was made and I get it. But I think I'll have to go with the Lamar side in the end. Trade Addicts 3. We have, oh, this is good here. We got Christian Kirk and Adam Trautman for Dalton Schultz. And I'm going to take this one first because Dalton Schultz is my guy. And I am all in on that side. Give me the Dalton Schultz, baby. Let's go.
Man. I like Schultz. He's just in that group of tight ends, right? That anywhere from 7 to 15 each week. Again, I was listening to, I think it was the W Marketplace from last week with Kane Fasel and Shane and those
yes.
guys.
Yes.
And Kane was talking about, you know, it's okay to have variability, right? And that's, you know, people give a bad rap where, okay, even Lamar, right? His range was so broad and you didn't know, but it's only one player. It's only one player out of start 10, start 11. So you've got other players that also are going to vary, and that's where you get some of your averages from. So I don't mind having Schultz. You know, I would ride with him as a tight end one if I had maybe either another veteran piece or even a young guy that I thought maybe could develop into that. So I see him, you know, Dawson Knox similarly. I'm fine rolling either one of those guys out if the rest of my roster looks really, really strong. But yeah, that's tough. So Christian Kirk with Trevor Lawrence, new coach, and then Trautman. I don't know. Some people I think are they still like the idea of Adam Trautman. I've never really been a huge fan. He's been a throw in for me in most cases. So I think I agreed. I would probably go with a tight end in the premium here, tied to a quarterback that I know is a top-end quarterback. We have a lot of hope and aspirations for Lawrence this year. I think we all sympathize with his situation coming out into the Urban Meyer system last year. He's clearly talented as a football player in general. We'll see what translates for year two. Christian Kirk, who, you know, they didn't want him enough to keep him around. They brought AJ Green back, and, you know, they've still got Hopkins, and, you know, we'll see what, you know, Rondell Moore does and whoever else they bring in. So Christian Kirk, I like Christian Kirk, but I don't know that he's ever been built to be the one. So I'll take the heavy premium with Schultz and take some of the boom weeks. And you know what? Some of the weeks I'll live with 6-7 points if he gets 2 or 3 catches.
Do you think that Christian Kirk and specifically the Jaguars seem to get absolutely hammered for his contract? And like, if you're Jacksonville, like, don't you think that's kind of what you have to do to get players? I mean, you're a complete disaster as a franchise. You've been through a total debacle. Now you're trying to like resurrect this. And so you kind of have to overpay people to come play in Jacksonville, right? And so I understand Christian Kirk is not Jamar Chase, is not Justin Jefferson, is not your alpha typical, you know, wide receiver one. I get all that. But like, also, they're not competing right now. They're trying to build a team. They're trying to get guys with character. They're trying to completely revamp everything there, from the locker room up and down the whole franchise, right? So, I mean, I think for them it was it's too much, but like that's what they had to do. So, that's fine. So, do you think because of that like negative spin that it hurts him in fantasy? Like, do you think people are like undervaluing him almost because they're like, oh, yeah, this guy doesn't deserve that, blah, blah, blah. And which is fine, but like, that's all completely irrelevant for our game, right?
Yeah. I it's tough because as much as, yes, they're a train wreck, I'm not very fluent in contracts and, you know, what they're committed to and guarantees and all that. I do think organizationally though, the little bit that I do know that I've seen that I've read, I think it's, you know, I think it goes up to ownership that if it's been this messed up for this long, it's not a front office problem. It's not a coaching problem necessarily. It's going back to ownership. So with that, you know, having to overpay so much for a state that has zero state income tax, that's going to make a huge difference in his paycheck in a warm climate, which I get, you know, Florida versus Arizona, whatever. It does strike me, like, how much did they have to give him or offer him to make him leave, you know, a top end quarterback in what should be, you know, a fun system to play in. But I get it. You know, these guys are professionals looking to get paid for the work that they do. So yeah, I totally agree that I understand, you know, why he made the move or, you know, some of why they had to, but if they had to overpay him that much and the organization is that in that much trouble, I don't have a whole lot of hope for consistent progress, I guess, over the next year or two with Kirk. So sure, there's some people I think that maybe are throwing the baby out with the bathwater and just saying he's worthless. So if I find somebody who's going to, you know, let me have him for a second or something, sure, I'll take him as my wide receiver 3 or 4. Let's have some fun and see what happens. But I'm not sure, you know, to your original question, if there's a huge overreaction there. I think there's still a decent probability that organization is just a mess overall. You know, is Peterson possibly, you know, a fresh perspective and maybe has a better way of building his team? Sure. It can't get worse than Meyer. But for beyond this season or beyond, you know, honestly, really beyond maybe the first 6 games or the first half of the season, I don't know that I expect, you know, sustained progress through the whole season here. So I'm certainly not going out and drafting Kirk early in the startup as a wide receiver 1, unless, again, you know, you're in one of these, start whoever you want. And okay, great. The value's there later on in double digit rounds or something. He's just hanging out and great. He's my wide receiver 2 now or 3. So I don't know. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely, you know, I think people just overreact so much just because, I guess, what else do you do this time of year? But, you know, when you hear his 4 year, $72 million contract, you're like, okay, let me just do some simple math. That's like $18 million a year, but that's not how it works, right? You have signing bonuses, you have roster bonuses, you have, you know, workout bonuses, you have cap hits, dead cap, whatever, blah, blah, blah. The guaranteed money was $37 million. So if you put that over 4 years, that's $9 million a year. That's fine. That's like, that makes sense for what Christian Kirk is. Like, $9 million. He's not, you know, it's not $20 million. He's not getting Devonta Adams money. You know, it looks like it, but that's not really what he's getting. If he stays there all 4 years and hits all these benchmarks and gets all this, then yeah, he could earn $72 million. But, you know, if he does that, then he probably earned it, right?
Yep.
Totally. So yeah, I mean, when you look at $9 million a year, that makes a lot more sense. And you know, I just think it's one of these opportunities where sometimes real NFL stuff kind of impacts fantasy. And to me, I've seen Kirk as almost like an afterthought, like a throw-in on deals. And I mean, to me, that just doesn't make sense. Like, he's not going to be nobody. I mean, who else is there? They've shown that, what, 2 different offenses couldn't use LaVisca. So that's probably not good for him. You know, I mean, again, maybe just bad situation. Maybe there's still some hope there. It's hard to really judge anyone from last year based on what happened and all the things you said. But I just feel like here's a guy that's probably going to get some decent volume or at least some decent target share. And I mean, Trevor Lawrence, we all still think he's good, right? I mean, for the most part, I mean, he's probably good. So, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say, but I feel like Kirk might be one of those guys that you can add pretty cheap. You know, let's say you're on the clock with like the 208 and there's a whole bunch of receivers that are going to be available there. And now maybe some of the tight ends start creeping up into that point, depending on their draft capital. Maybe there's a quarterback left. There's a couple of running backs for sure in that range. And you might say, you know what? I don't know about any of these guys, but I feel like Christian Kirk can help me for the next 2 or 3 years. I'm perfectly willing to throw the 208 out to get that, because I don't know that the upside of anybody else you're getting there is going to, you know, is going to equal what he can give you for the next couple of years. So I don't know. It's one of those things to think about. There's always going to be veterans are always going to be a little bit undervalued during the draft, but maybe some too much. So he's maybe one to keep an eye on. That's kind of what I
agree.
There.
I agree.
Okay. So actually, speaking of that, I want to get to FF Trader Joe, our good buddy here. He's got a couple questions. The first one is the worst landing spots for the top three at each position in the draft. So I'm not going to go through each of my top three in each position, and then both of us do that, and then we'll be here all night. But if you want to pick two or three guys, off the top of your head, that what would the worst landing spots be? And I mean, I'm just going to start with this because this is real easy. Like I said, I'm here in Chicagoland. Anyone that goes to the Bears, that's a terrible landing spot. And I don't care if it's Drake London, who I love, if he goes to the Bears, he's probably going to be terrible because that's what the Bears do. They just ruin players. And so I fully expect anyone drafted by the Bears to be terrible. And so true.
Don't say that. I have Justin Fields in too many leagues, man. I need him to be good. I think, again, some low hanging fruit here. The first one jumps out, Malik Willis, anywhere that he has to start early in the season. So if he goes to Carolina,
that's great. Yeah.
If he's put under pressure early to do that, I think that's going to be tough. You hear a lot of back and forth again, kind of everybody's that pendulum swinging back and forth where, yes, you know what? I guess a lot of NFL teams, they've had him visit, they've talked to him, they have him graded highly out of this class. Right. And you never can really do the exercise, but you put him in last year's class, or you put him in class a couple of years ago. Where is he in that hierarchy then? But I think that's probably the first one that I saw. As far as I don't know that there is a bad place for Breece Hall. I'm excited to see where he goes. And I think probably, 30 to the 32 situations are good for him. He could go to Dallas for all I care and sit behind Pollard and Zeke for 8 weeks or something until he's needed to come in. Fine. He could go, maybe Pittsburgh's a bad spot because they already have, somebody secured there, but even then, sure. But I believe in the talent. So I don't know that there are too many bad places for him. Outside of that, I don't have a whole lot of others that jump out. I would feel bad for any of the receivers that go to Cincinnati and are competing with T. Higgins and Jamar Chase and even still Tyler Boyd now, right?
Boyd, like, yeah.
So some of those types of plays, it would be tough. But again, is it bad? Because, maybe Tyler Boyd gets traded next year and now they just have a ridiculous core that Joe Burrow gets to pick you apart with, whoever he wants. You can only double cover so many guys, right? So, that for me, I think Willis, a lot of people want it, planning to take him with the 101, 102 in Superflex. Probably going to have to sit on him, and you're hoping that he has to sit in the NFL for a significant amount of time. You hope he gets the Trey Lance experience.
Yes. That's exactly where I was going to go with that. We know because it's proven Trey Lance's value has been insulated since we drafted him. His value's not changed. So if you took him with the 103, or in my case, the 102 in many leagues, nothing's changed. You could still trade him for whatever you could trade him for a year ago at this time. Yep. I mean, the value insulation of a quarterback is good. So you're exactly right that as long as we don't see them and they look absolutely awful, like Zach Wilson scenario, typically their value is going to be insulated. And so even if they don't play, so yeah, Pittsburgh makes perfect sense. Atlanta makes sense. Anywhere that there's one of these bridge quarterbacks, I love that. I hear a lot that the bad landing spots are the early teams, right? Because the early picks are the bad teams.
Sure.
Right. And so, but couldn't you make the argument that let's take any of, let's say, Garrett Wilson, Treylon Burks, Drake London, any of those guys, Jameson Williams, Olave, whoever you like out of that group, if any one of them goes to like Atlanta, do we really hate that? Because I mean, who else do they have? I mean, there's no one else. So isn't fantasy football all about opportunity? So yep. If these guys are getting volume, even if they're not great, they're not polished, or the quarterback or the situation, or they're still trying to figure things out. But hey, if they're getting 8 targets a game, I mean, are we mad about that? So not I don't think that necessarily the early picks are bad because of that. Here's the thing. this draft class, I heard something, it's like 40% larger because of COVID. And so a lot of these guys got that extra year of eligibility. And so we have so many more players. And just in general, this wide receiver class is super deep. Like, there's so many guys, pick your flavor, you know, typical slot guys, big slot guys, X's, Z's, whatever you're looking for, they're everywhere. I expect every NFL team to draft at least one wide receiver.
Yeah.
And maybe even two.
Yeah.
That's how deep this class is. I mean, we could definitely see like 70, 80 receivers drafted. Like, it's going to be a lot. I really do see that scenario happening. And so if you're going to the Packers in the late first, or you're going to the Chiefs in the late first, I mean, that's really exciting.
Yep.
Because again, you have the opportunity, but now you have better teams and better quarterbacks. But how many times have we seen, you know, CEH land with the Chiefs, and how did that work out? Right. So it, you know, it's really hard to say that, you know, one spot's worse than the other. You know, really it's going to come down to what type of player are they? Where do they fit best? Yeah. What system is it? There's going to be a lot of variables we're going to have to look at. But ultimately what's going to happen is whoever goes to the Chiefs or Packers, if they take a first round receiver, either of those spots, those guys are going, you know, those are going to be the top. They're going to be in the top five probably in this class.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, I mean, I'm sure you can come up with bad landing spots for everyone, but we can always go back to the stories of, you know, the AJ Browns of the world. How bad did we think that was? Well, he fell to 111 to me in how many drafts, and how thrilled am I to have AJ Brown, you know? And so again, it doesn't matter. CeeDee Lamb, remember when the Cowboys CeeDee Lamb, people were like, what?
Cooper and Gallup and,
you know, and now look where we are, right? Yeah. I mean, things change so fast. Like, I don't think it's not so much landing spot as it is draft capital, right? I want to see these guys go in the first round or the second round. I don't care necessarily which team they go to. I just want them to be drafted highly, because then I know they're going to get opportunities, or at least more opportunities than
they should.
Maybe they should sometimes.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't necessarily care about landing spot. I care about draft capital, if that makes sense.
Totally. Yeah. And then, you know, your analytics guys and gals all have the models for, you know, did they declare early? What was their breakout age? How much, you know, target share they dominate? So there's some things that, again, you can put some models together, but at the end of the day, this is about fun. So go get your people, man.
Of course. Yes. Yes, of course. And that's, you know, I've been talking about a lot that, you know, I am not a rookie guy. I am not a film guy. I don't have a model. I don't watch, you know, I don't watch film like Matt Waldman or some of these guys, you know, or Kane Fasel for that matter. I don't have the time to do all that. I listen to them and I read them because those are the guys, those I use their eyes and I use their mind for that. Right. And so, but at the end of the day, I'm still going to make my decision for my teams, and I'm going to have a lot of Drake London because I love Drake London. And I don't care if you say he's the next Nikhil Harry or Laquan Treadwell or what. I don't see that. And so I'm probably going to be wrong. That's fine. I'm wrong all the time. I got no problem with it. If I can be right like 55, 60% of the time, I'll be happy. Shoot. I can live with that.
Heck yeah.
But yeah, like the guys like Drake London, I love him. I'm probably going to have more shares of him, and I don't care where he goes. I don't care where he lands, because I believe his talent and skill set will win out wherever he goes. And so would it be great if he went to the Packers or the Chiefs? Yeah, it would. But at the same time, would I be mad if he went to like the Jets or the Falcons? No, it's not going to change anything for me.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, I think we got to look at draft capital, and each scenario is going to have its own merits. Let's go back to, let's see, Trade Addict 6 here. Oh, here's another running back for receiver. And this one is J.K. Dobbins for Terry McLaurin.
Cool.
So two things I want to say real quick. So one, obviously, I talked about earlier, I traded away Dobbins, right? So we know probably where I'm going to land on this one. But I do want to say, somebody tagged me in something the other day on Twitter and was talking about these AJ Brown, Terry McLaurin, Debo Samuel, these situations, right, where they're deleting everything from their social media and they're going to hold out and they want to get paid and all that. Cool. Fine. Whatever. I'm buying then. I'm buying. If you're selling me those guys at a discount because of that, I'm in. So send those guys over. I'm buying. So I don't know where you stand on that, but I'm not worried about a holdout. I'm not worried about it. I'll take the discount and I'll roll with it from there.
Man, I do like Dobbins, I think, more than you do. Man, that is a tough one.
I mean, McLaurin's older than people think, right? He came out, he's an older prospect. Yeah. So,
you know, he's got Wentz throwing to him, which is a lot of mixed opinions there. And is Wentz really the best quarterback he's ever had? Is he going to really see, you know, a bump with that? Is he going to have more competition for targets this year? Who knows? I probably go to the Dobbins side here because I think as soon as Dobbins has a couple of good games or shows that he's coming back healthy, I think I can get more for him, especially if he comes back midseason, you know, or maybe after the first few games, really starting to get back in his groove. And if I'm contending, that's awesome because I feel great for my playoff push. If I'm not contending, there's somebody out there that's going to want a top 10 running back and is going to be willing to give me a good payoff for that. So I think Dobbins is young enough. The injury that he's come off of is common enough. He got injured early enough last season that I will take the risk there on the running back, and I will still try to get out. I think you and I are similar there. I am definitely more apt to be out a year or two early on a running back, unless it's somebody I just really, really love, which I don't have a lot of those guys. JT might be the closest, and I actually have zero of him right now. I moved him where I had him for a huge profit last year. Javonte might be that guy for me now. Where, you know what? Great. You know, I'll hang on to him. If Breece Hall goes to the Bills, God help me. I will have him everywhere. And
popular right now.
I don't care if he fumbles 10 times this season. I will have him on my roster if he is on my Bills until he retires. But there are very few running backs that are like that for me. I will typically move off of them sooner than later. But I think you can get a dip on Dobbins now. If McLaurin does it, I would absolutely make that exchange. And then I'm waiting for that window to move Dobbins again next season.
And I think I know for sure that's 100% why I listen to your show and also have smart co-hosts, because I agree with that. You changed my mind because you're right. You're exactly right that I don't think much can happen that would increase McLaurin's value. Whereas Dobbins, you're right, he is a very likely value recovery, even more so. You know, as we get farther away from the injury, but once we actually see him on the field do it, you're right. He's going to get that bump for sure. Just like Akers, you know, last year, even just coming back, it was like, crazy. Oh my God, he got back on the field and then boom, I think I got him in like the 16th round of a startup last year after his injury. And now I just saw him taken in the fifth round of So I think fifth might still be a little high personally, sure. But I loved Akers. I'm an Akers guy, and I still think that's high. So I was thrilled to get him in the 16th.
Awesome.
I'll probably be selling him, to be honest with you. But yeah, you're exactly right. And I mean, what do we talk about all the time, right? We talk about it 15 times already is trading for value. And so I don't know that McLaurin's skill set fits with Wentz that well, but we also haven't seen Wentz in this type of offense. So you know, I think for all the people out there that are saying, you know, oh my God, Wentz was just terrible and he was awful and whatever. There's a little bit of recency. He had COVID, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And then he came out to that game, like literally just barely having tested negative. And then just laid an egg. And how many other guys have we seen do that? So I know it was bad, but it's kind of hard to just say he had a terrible season. I think he had like 27 touchdowns and 7 interceptions or something. Like, do we not care about stats? Is this not fantasy football? Like, I mean, I guess we care if he's bad, if he's not going to play somewhere, but another team just traded for him. So he's going to play, right? So, I mean, we'll have to see what he looks like in this system, but we also have to imagine that they're going to add some competition for McLaurin, which may help him, but also some of these guys got to get healthy. every one of their receivers was hurt last year. Every one of their tight ends was hurt last year. So
that was heartbreaking to see Logan Thomas get hurt again, man.
It was rough. And yeah, actually, speaking of Logan Thomas, that's he's a buy for me. I had zero shares like 90 days ago, and he's one of those guys that now all of a sudden I have like four.
Nice.
You know, because he's nothing. He's you can get him for nothing.
Yep.
You can get him for nothing. And I mean, who else do they have? Even if they draft one of these guys, you know, well, coming out of this class. Right? It's gonna exactly. Okay, Trade Addicts 8. We had DK Metcalf for Brandon Cooks and Dalvin Cook. The Cooks for the DK. That's interesting. I mean, that's you're going young, right? You're trying to maybe buy the value dip on DK, and you're getting some super production on the other side, right? So Dalvin and Brandon Cook should both give you. Cook should be a nice middle wide receiver too. Dalvin still has that he's still within the range 10. Of outcomes of RB1. I mean, it's possible, you know. And like overall RB1, it's still possible. It's still there.
Slightly.
So you're saying there's a chance. How many guys can you say that about? I mean, there's just not that many. So he's still got, you know, maybe one elite year left. He's definitely going to get the volume. We know he's in the passing game. So to me, this is kind of that classic, you know, win now versus rebuild type, right? That's the way I'd lean on this one. If you're going to win now, let's go Cooks and Cook. If you're rebuilding, I'll take DK on that side.
Yeah, I think so. In general, though, you know, I think I still go DK. Like I said earlier, you know, I'm good getting out on Dalvin. If somebody wants to buy into the range of outcomes and that he's still a top 10 back and they want to sell themselves on that narrative. And yeah, I like Brandon Cooks. I love getting him wherever I can. But yeah, I'll take DK and, you know, I'll go from there and figure out another running back that probably isn't too far off Dalvin by the time midseason rolls around for points per game.
Yeah, and I know there was somebody put out recently running backs over 26, like having an RB1 season, and there was really just like Mark Ingram. Like that was it, that one year that it was him and like Kamara. And so, historically, as we say, you don't want to bet against history, right? So it is time to get out on Cook, no doubt. You know, but if you want a couple pieces there to win, this is one of those trades where like if you trade DK for these, you better win.
Yeah, you're committed. Right? Like
if you win, you can live with it. Yep. But if you don't, and it's a little early. I mean, it's April, so it's hard for me to say I'm going to make that trade. That might be more of like a trade deadline, or in this case, we don't have a trade deadline. Yeah. But you know, maybe the arms
playoffs,
race, the playoffs, you get caught up in that. But
yeah, and who knows? You know, maybe this person is gonna pull Dustin again, and he's gonna turn. Churning, exactly, and you know, split assets, and Dalvin turns into, you know, Devin Singletary in a 23rd first or something. And
there you go. There you go.
Keep rolling.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about. All right. Trade Addicts 9. We've got, we've got a couple picks here. So this is the player for picks. G. We got a little bit of everything on this one. This is beautiful. So this one is, the one and only Christian McCaffrey for a 23 first, the 201 and the 309. And I have a couple things to say about that. Drew, why don't you start with this one?
I am not a McCaffrey person at this point. And okay. I don't think that's going
in the same direction.
I don't think that's enough at this point without knowing anything. I think if you wait till closer to the season, because the 201 doesn't move me for this year. If you get into the first round, then and again, you can get a better projection of who's going to be there and who you want. That's fine, but I still don't think that's enough for CMC. If I've got him, you've got to play the patient game here and get closer to, you know, get through get to preseason, right? Get through the offseason, get through OTAs, get through training camp and stuff. Again, get some live video of him working out, taking reps, catching a few passes from whoever their quarterback's going to be, And I think at that point, you could definitely get better value for CMC. But bottom line is I am out on him if I can get anything close to a first this year and a first next year.
That's almost exactly what I was going to say. I am all about trading CMC, but if I have him, this isn't enough for me. I know people are all about the 23 firsts, and so this is somebody kind of taking advantage of that maybe and just saying like, hey, if this 23 first is so valuable, here you go. Let me have a top running back, but possibly a top running back. So I would more likely be on the other side of this one with the picks because giving away the picks for the player, right? Because in this case, I don't want to do that trade necessarily. I don't want to acquire CMC, but I can't sell for that.
No.
I do have him in one league still, and it is the league where it was my worst trade I never made. Okay. And this was rookie 2 years ago. It was literally 2 years ago this time. So it was April 2020, I believe. So CMC is coming off monster season.
Yeah.
I had just won back-to-back championships. I was going for the three-peat, and I was offered essentially three firsts, but one being, you know, two being a future or two being the following year, which were both going to be late projected. And then the rookie draft comes around and the manager takes Jonathan Taylor, and then he offers me Jonathan Taylor and those same two future firsts. And I sat on it and I thought about it. I almost hit accept. And I thought, but I just came off back-to-back, and I really want to win three. I really want to win a three-peat. How many back-to-backs do people have? And then how many three-peats do people? Like, it is so hard to do. And as much as I wanted to move CMC, I never liked him from the very beginning. And the funny thing is I tried to move him as soon as I took over this orphan. I was like, oh, that's perfect. He's a guy I don't even like, so I'll trade him, no problem. I'll get assets back. And then here I end up winning two championships. Mm. But so I did not take the trade. I did not get my Jonathan Taylor in two firsts. Mm. But I did get the three-peat. So I can live with it. I'm still sitting on CMC. I have the 101 this year now. So I went three in a row, and then I was the absolute worst team.
That's hilarious.
So hey, winning cures all to go along with CMC.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
So,
you know. There's your replacement.
There we go.
Yeah. I don't think that the 3-0 whatever with the 201 gets you high enough into the first round this year to make it worth it. If you had a couple of seconds and you thought you could get up to the 108, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Then I am much more likely to take the picks. And then again, like you said, they're flexible. People can use their imagination, put names to them. And then again, you can turn those into something else that you like better. But yeah, not enough at face value there.
All right. Well, there's a couple more here. Let's go back to one listener question real quick. And then we'll finish up with that. So, and you'll see why here in a minute. Okay. So these two questions will be real quick, real easy. So at JFence69, could you talk about drafting for need to fill a roster hole versus BPA best player available? And does it differ depending on what slot you're drafting in and or the competitiveness of your team? And, you know, this is an easy question. I think it's one we've been kind of answering all night, right? And to me, it's always draft for value, trade for need. I'm never going to force that pick. If I have two players at different positions ranked similarly, like if I'm really close on these two guys and the draft capital doesn't sway me at all, then I might lean one position over the other in general. But I will tell you that I typically build through quarterbacks. So regardless of who my quarterbacks are, I don't care. I will draft another quarterback because I can always trade them. And I also believe in the value insulation of quarterbacks. One of my examples really quickly that I'll give you is that I had Josh Allen and Dak, and I still took Herbert. And now I have Allen, Herbert, and Dak. And then I had Allen, Herbert, and Dak. And then I still took Trey Lance the next year. And so, again, is anybody mad about having those four quarterbacks? Like, no one is mad about that. like you're, because now I, that gives me so much flexibility to trade those guys. They're always in demand. Who's not going to trade me for one of those guys? Yeah. Right. And so, and I did end up trading Trey Lance actually, and won a championship with it. So that's one example I can give you of, I don't care. I needed running backs. I literally had no running backs and I traded and I drafted Trey Lance because I knew I could trade any one of those quarterbacks for basically any running back I wanted.
Yeah.
And then some, right? So I wasn't really worried about it. Now, if it comes down to like, oh, I need a tight end and I'm sitting at 110, do I take, you know, and pick your favorite tight end from this class? I don't see that that's where the tight ends are going. I've done rookie drafts already, pre-draft, and no tight ends were taken in the first and only one usually in the second, which is maybe late second. Yep. So I doubt anyone even going in the first round of the NFL draft is going to bump them up that much. So as an example, on the other end, I wouldn't be taking, you know, a tight end if I needed one. I would be trading then for that. Again, take the players. If you don't need a wide receiver, but you take Chase anyway, are you mad? Are you mad?
No. No. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so let's see. This question here is from KP Poker KP. We just did a find me a trade for him a couple weeks ago on Junkies. Kelly Poor, how are we feeling about Dak? I moved him for the 107 and an early mid 23 first in a 14 team super flex. Sort of hate it, but I couldn't move him for more. I completely misread this earlier. I thought you paid a 107 and a 23 first, and I was all about it. Because people think Dak is old. He's 28. Mm-hmm. So he's not old. He still has great weapons. He's still in a passing offense.
Who is saying he's old?
Like, I hear it all the time. I hear it all the time. He's one of the old, you know, oh, Dak's getting old. Dak's getting old. Is he? Because he's not even 30 yet. So, think about this. He's 5 years younger than Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
5 years younger than Derek Carr.
Yep.
You know, and we're not even talking about, you know, Rodgers and some of those guys. So, yeah, to me, Dak is a top five quarterback for me. And I would gladly give up the 107 and any 23 first. Really. Sure, because honestly, what are you trying to get with those picks? You're just trying to get the next Dak. So, so what am I really getting out of that? And especially in a 14 team league, it's very important to have those top end players. You want to have depth, of course, the deeper the league is, but having those top players, man, it's just so important. It's such an advantage.
Yeah.
Every week over somebody who's, you know, rolling out Carson Wentz and you have Dak, right? So, to me, that's hard. That's a hard deal to make. I don't have more context than this.
Right.
So I don't mean to like say it's a terrible trade, because it may not be, depending on what your situation is. But just as they say, in a vacuum, nothing is in a vacuum. You know, I'm gladly moving the picks for Dak.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's undervalued in general. If you can make a trade to get him for something like that, then, you know, I know it's about to be rookie draft season. Give the picks up, man. Give the picks up. Good QB1 covers a lot of other mistakes in your process.
Yeah, no doubt. This was a good one from our boy Paul at Point Dynasty. Who are the best B-list celebrities? And I'll be honest with you. I don't know what that means. I mean, I understand it's like celebrities who aren't like Will Smith, right? So I Googled B-list celebrities and IMDb came up. I use IMDb all the time because I'm always like, who's that guy? What was he in?
Yep.
Okay. So I'm looking at this list. And by the way, like 15 of the top, like 29 people on this list are from Game of Thrones. So I think that's just hilarious. But listen, for me, after seeing this list of whatever, it's probably a bunch of names, you know, but you know, nobody like super famous. The one name that jumps out to me is Chadwick Boseman. Mm. I mean, how can you like, dude, Black Panther, come on. Like
how is he B-list?
I don't know. So do I don't know how that's qualified or classified or whatever. But if he's B-list, he's my A, yeah. B-list.
Yeah. I had to do a quick search as well to make sure I was getting some parameters right here. So I've been watching on HBO Winning Time with John C. Reilly.
Yes.
Who is typically Will Ferrell's sidekick, right?
Yes.
But he is doing an amazing job as Jerry Buss right now in this show. And I love it. So I think right now he is probably one of my favorite B-listers that is never going to headline a movie, never going to be on the main face on the poster, but is doing a kick-ass job on Winning Time right now.
What's going on here? Where's Russ?
Wrong night, Rocky.
What the
Wrong
hell? Night. Who are you?
We were just starting late.
Did somebody, I think somebody just hacked into our, I don't know what's going on. This is really weird. Oh, Rocky.
I guess Rocky. We have to, we'll have to push that question to next week that we're going to go to next then, Scott. Now that he's here.
Wait, what's this?
No, I'm sorry. You missed it.
You'll have to listen.
Yep. I just had to check in and make sure you guys weren't ruining the show any more than I do.
Oh, really?
Wait, you didn't let me finish. Any more than I do every week. So.
Okay. I was going to say, I mean, man, this is actually almost 2 years from the very first time I hosted. Well, it's a little more than 2 years, but
nice.
Yeah, from the very first time that I filled in for Russ, so. It's pretty cool. And I was telling Drew, I almost feel like more, that's not really the right way to say it. I can't think of a way to say it. I almost feel like I do better here than I do on Junkies, but it's like, because I respect, Russ and like respect Trade Addicts. Right. So whereas no I'm just on Junkies. I'm Andrew. Like, hey, yeah. F it, whatever. Let's roll. You know? Yeah. I knew you'd appreciate that.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Okay. So we got through about half the trades here, or actually a little more than half. There were a whole bunch of them, but I wanted you to, I saved a few, specifically a couple that I knew you were a part of. Were you a part of any of 1, 2, 3, 6, or 8?
I was, I don't remember what they are now. Cause I think you deleted them off the show. Oh no, they're there. Okay.
No, I didn't delete them.
Yeah.
I saved them for you.
Do you want me to run through it, or is that too boring?
So no, I just we talked about those, but I just wanted you to point out any that were yours and see if you wanted to add any context to them. We'll give you the quick. I'll give you the quick rundown, and then you could throw in your 30 seconds. So which one?
Only
which
two
one?
Of them were mine. Wait, did you do the DK Metcalf one?
I did. Yes, we did.
That I actually got Metcalf in that one, which
attaboy. You did.
You probably wouldn't have guessed.
Attaboy.
Okay. Okay.
And Russ was the other side of that one.
Really?
Yeah. I'm actually contending in that league, but in the outhouse challenge, I finished the 2 seed, lost in the semis, and then in the outhouse challenge, I got even more old guys on my team. So I have like 14 really good old guys, so I consolidated 2 of them into DK Metcalf.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
And the only other one that probably needs context is the Dobbins from McLaurin. I'm curious. Actually, I'll listen. I won't make you repeat it, but I am curious what you guys thought of that one. But I am not contending remotely in that league. That's a crappy orphan I took over. And Dobbins, I hadn't had much luck moving, so I don't know if you guys thought it was fair, but I was happy to take it. I just wanted something, even though McLaurin's not super young, I still think he's more of a long-term asset than Dobbins. That's where that one came from.
Well, I'm always a, you know, wide receiver over running back. And I talked about earlier how I made a Dobbins trade, like just right before we came on the show. And so I talked about that. And I don't like Dobbins, but actually Drew convinced me of why it should be the Dobbins side. And it's because he thinks that once Dobbins actually gets out on the field and plays, that his value is just going to come back up. And so I would say, based on the pay, you know, you got to be patient, man.
What are
you, an addict? Are you a junkie?
Exactly. Plus, you know. We had 2 trades 24 hours ago. I had to make some moves. I had to get some content.
You're patient, Rocky. You didn't drop Brady right away. You held him.
That's true.
You waited 40 days or whatever it was.
Oh man. All right, let's finish up these three now. We have some good banter. So, we were in TA9. We just talked about CMC and the picks.
I got CMC.
Okay, I felt like even though I don't want CMC, that's not enough to trade him away. So, I would buy him for that
I have 323 first in that league. I essentially now traded Pitts for the 201 and the 309 for McCaffrey, 223 first, and Gerald Everett.
Okay.
Because I made a pitch trade last week that got me those three first, added these picks.
Wow. Maximizing.
I'm pretty happy with that return.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay, so the other one here in TA9 was the 107 for Michael Thomas and the 208. I'll just say that I probably, even though I know like 108 is kind of my cutoff, screw it. I'd take the 107 there because that Michael Thomas sucks. 100% anyway.
100%. You're scaring me for a minute, Scott.
Yeah, no, I just give me the 107.
If there's a pick, a higher pick on one side, that's the side Drew's taking. But no, I mostly agree. I know some people like think Thomas is going to hop right into being a wide receiver one again. I don't see that. So I'll take the 107 and I'll be happy with it.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So Trade Addicts 10. And I think we need a little context for this league. This is the one that drafted last year, but hasn't been played yet, correct?
Correct. So none of us really know for sure.
So drafted in
late August into the very beginning of the season, I think draft ended. Yeah.
And so didn't play out the season.
Didn't play any games.
So now you've sat through a season. You've sat through half an non-point scoring season, and we've gotten to the wait, hold on, we got a comment here from my boy Jason Real. He says, wait, I finally made a decent trade.
Is he talking about MT?
Good job, buddy. Jason is another one of those guys, along with Jake, that's pretty much in every single one of my leagues. So we're in like 35 leagues together. So
yeah, Jason is the one that got the 107 in that.
Okay, good job. Good job, Jason. All right, so Trade Addicts 10, we're about to enter a rookie draft here. So were these rookie picks in the startup, or were they?
Yeah, they were in the startup and they were the exact picks. So we drafted the 2022 101.
You would draft what they were.
Yes, not like.
So they weren't just assigned that you could maneuver around. You had to select them.
Correct.
Yeah, there was no way to assign them since nothing was played.
Right. Since nothing was played in the draft, we put the 2022 rookie picks by number. So it's not just like Rockies.
No, they could be assigned. I've been in plenty of drafts where it was like maybe the reverse of startup.
So
the 101 of the startup, you'd have the 112 of the rookie.
Yeah, knowing we wouldn't play it out, we put, Russ
would
be actual numbered picks of 2022.
Understood. So you could have some lopsided, some guys might have more picks. Some guys might have like two firsts and nothing else. Some guys might have like four thirds. It could just be it's very right.
Definitely.
Okay, yeah. So this first trade is the 110 and the 308 for Curtis Samuel and the 202.
Yeah, these and are both me also.
I just like by a million. This might be the most lopsided trade of the night. This is the 110. Curtis Samuel is trash. So this is the 110.
And of course I got the 110. Yes.
Okay. Well, good. Grief. When you just made that trade today?
I think it was today. Yeah.
Good grief.
he sent it to me. I threw it out in every TA chat that I'm in. We only had, earlier in the day, we only had two trades on the sheet, and I'm like, we only have two trades, and Russ and I are going to be on. We need to make some trades for these guys. And so got some offers moving. I made some offers, and this is one that came to me.
You got to move up four spots
for Curtis Samuel
for free, and also
that's right.
get rid of a roster clogger. So I apologize to whoever it was. I'm sure I know who it is, and I'm sure that I like this person, but I hate Curtis Samuel, so I am so sorry.
I was surprised. You know, I drafted him back in August when there was a thought that at least he might have value, and he does not.
Yeah. So apparently he did.
Yeah, well, somebody still likes him.
That's
probably an
game,
Ohio
right?
State fan. that was gross to say. I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. I hate saying that school. Okay, so this is the big one of the night here. This was I know exactly who was involved in this trade. And
yes, we do.
Okay, so here we go. So it's Matthew Stafford and TJ Hockenson and the 308. Well, I know exactly. I know what side you got here, Rocky.
This
then.
Is a very,
okay,
for, very mean
so
trade.
Stafford, Hawk, and the 308 for Tom Brady, DJ Moore, and the 104.
So I'm curious for both of your thoughts because I made it. So
Stafford,
I know Hawk.
Stafford, Hawk all day.
Stafford, not, Hawk, and the third for Brady, DJ Moore, and the 104.
Yeah, I'm Stafford, Hawk for me. It's not close, but I'm not a DJ Moore guy, so.
DJ Moore, I think, is typically so underrated and undervalued, except by the small minority that really, really like him. Like the general population.
I just raised my hand if you're wondering.
When he goes wide receiver 8 in every startup and he's never finished better than like wide receiver 14, it makes zero sense. But okay.
I heard you talk about this with the other Scott on Dynasty and Chill. The dude gets a quarterback. Even he said it. Connor said it. It is just
enough.
Everything about fair. His peripherals, all that stuff.
Listen, I learned, okay, and I actually drafted DJ Moore in a startup because I got him at wide receiver 16. So there I felt really comfortable because I know that's where he's going to finish, and if he gets a quarterback, he has more upside. So I like him in that spot. It makes sense. But when you're drafting him as the wide receiver 8, it doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, how many – what are we going to see? So, I mean, I know you love Hockenson. And so I'm trying to figure out, did you trade for him or had you drafted him in the startup? Right. And so I'm trying to think like, you probably drafted him in the startup.
I did.
Is what I would think. So I would think you traded away Stafford, Hawk, and the 308 for Brady, Moore, and the 104.
I did. And my thing was, I mean, you're getting more years with Stafford, most likely, but
presumably.
And, you know, because Brady's only going to play till 50 and maybe, you know, Stafford plays till 40 something. So,
right.
but no, and I mean, that to me, that's the only value difference to them for me. I mean, the production is going to be at least equal, if not more for Brady, as long as Brady stays in the league, unless he just, you know, he's 45. So you would expect at some point he's going to fall off, but he's 45 and he hasn't. So whatever. So,
right.
I think the production is fine. I might only have him for a year. Getting DJ Moore in the 104. To me, that's easily over Hawk in the 308. And the difference, the gap between Brady and Stafford wasn't as big to me as the gap between DJ
Who's
Moore
your other quarterback and Hawk besides Brady now.
Brady, Lance, and Ryan.
Okay.
I actually have it. I have a young guy.
So yeah, you can start Ryan yet. Until Lance comes around. I mean, yeah, it makes it. Yeah. I mean, that's fine. That's fine. Are you planning to compete? Like, are you seeing yourself as most likely competing this year?
Like I said, it's harder to tell because we didn't play last year, but right. I think so. Yeah. I have some pieces. I have Diggs and Higgins and Mixon and some other guys I can't remember off the top.
All right, well, Drew, we need a final decision on this trade.
So I think my knee jerk reaction is I think I go after Hockenson with a premium, who's going to have a lot of years left. But I definitely could see the value in I think Brady versus Stafford for this year could be very similar. I have Stafford in a couple spots, and I'm excited to see what he does now with Allen Robinson there and another year in the system. So,
when that's Brady, DJ Moore, and like Garrett Wilson or Jameson Williams,
killing
it. That's going to look better.
Are you excited about the 104? Like that, there's a piece there you're going to add that's likely going to help you significantly.
I think a top 4 pick in this draft is still pretty, even though it's not the best class, it's still pretty valuable.
I agree.
Yeah, and it's possible. I mean, you might still get, you know, depending on what you think about Kenneth Walker, you know, right, if you want running back. So, yeah, I think I would probably – I am trying to shift more toward the win now mentality. I have typically kind of convinced myself that my team is a hybrid of both, but when record doesn't lie, right? And in a lot of my leagues, it's been a two-year build to get there. I've had to make some more trades to get to a place. So I think I would be very comfortable with either side of that. So value wise, I do think there's probably more value on, since we're hitting draft season, on getting the 104 with DJ Moore, who has the upside. And yeah, for this year, Brady versus Stafford is probably a toss up either week. I mean, Brady is still doing it and they're going to build a system to suit him. So there's not a lot of risk for him to fall completely off a cliff.
And just a couple of the A, what I, given what I said earlier, I expected Drew to take my side because it has the 104. And B, I was taking a little bit of a page from from you, Scott, from your book. I have about 10 Hockenson shares, so I was fine moving off of them here. And all in pretty much tight end premium league. So
yeah,
it's I probably have like at least 30% market share of Hock in my league. So.
Nice.
It was nice to move on, and I don't have as much DJ Moore as I used to. I did kind of move off him a bit last year because, like you, I mean, I do see the whole wide receiver two thing, but I keep thinking if he just gets a quarterback. I mean, he only scores those four touchdowns, but if you're only scoring 16, four isn't that bad. So maybe if he gets a quarterback, you can throw 30. He'll score touchdown like 8.
Share. It's the new stat, everyone. Let's draft our players based on touchdown share. I mean, hey, Christian Kirk could do that in Jacksonville. He could have 4 of the 16 touchdowns they're going to share that they're going to score this year. Yeah. All right. Listen, we gotta finish off with this last another listener question we had from Quinn Dynasty, and I have a great answer for this, even though it's maybe not
any answers for this.
The right answer, but it's what's the best non-name brand soda? And I'm gonna tell you that there's only one country in the world, one country that Coca-Cola is not the number one soft drink. And that is in Peru. And that is because it's Inca Cola. And so I understand the question is a non-name brand, but I'm dropping this knowledge here. Who knew that? Let's be honest. How many of our dozens of listeners knew that?
You get this kind
of. Okay. And so Inca Cola is the shit. It's amazing. It tastes like nothing else, and it's all about the Inca Cola. That's it. I'm done.
I think before I moved to the South, I would have said I would have gone with good old Michigan Jones soda. But since coming down to Tennessee, I've been exposed to L8 for ginger ale, and I'm a ginger ale guy. I love good ginger ale.
Me too.
So L8, manufactured in Kentucky, now spread to the Publix and Kroger's near me in Nashville, and you know, still traditional glass bottles. Just hits just right. Gives you that crisp, cold, refreshing, little bit of bitterness from the ginger, but they don't overdo it where it's not like one of those craft ginger that turns into a ginger beer or whatever. So that is my go-to ginger ale when I can pick it up.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever drank a non-name brand soda. So,
wait, you've never had like a Mountain Lightning or a Dr. Thunder?
I have not.
Oh, because I mean, that's what I grew up on, man.
WPOP from Wegmans. Dr.
No, we were Coke Pepsi family when I was a kid, and we still buy.
Yeah, you got Wegmans near you, right, Rock?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, you never did a Wegman soda for like 35 cents out of their vending machine in the front of the store?
If I did, I don't remember what it tasted like.
Wait, so how were you a Coke and Pepsi family?
I don't know. We had both in the house when I was a kid. Now it's Pepsi. Everybody in my family drinks Pepsi.
Okay.
I drink ginger ale. I'm actually a ginger ale guy like Drew, but everybody else drinks Pepsi.
I pretty much live on Mountain Dew at this point, but it was always Pepsi over Coke. I know that like when you put like a full T-bone steak in a bowl and you pour some Coke in there, and like within 24 hours, everything's gone. And like even the bone is disintegrated. I mean, that pretty much kind of did it for me. I don't drink near as much soda as I used to, but the fact that you can use it as like a degreaser when you're working on your engine and stuff like that, I mean, I just can only imagine what it does to your insides. Yeah, so.
I think we were a family divided when I was a kid. I think
so.
I think
apparently so, yeah, man.
I drank Coke. I know that. I am now figuring out what
is wrong with Rocky. It was, I mean, the fact that you have both Coke and Pepsi and that you must have been a very confused child.
Yeah, it was quite confusing.
All right. Well, listen, we are trying to set a record here in the fastest straight addict show ever. And we said we would do this in an hour, which of course means an hour and 30 minutes. And so we're going to do it. We're going to do it. It's an hour and 29. And Rocky, do you have any final thoughts here that you want to stretch this thing out here and make make Drew wait?
Is that the only question you didn't answer?
No, we did. We've been mixing them in.
Okay.
Because so maybe somebody told me that they might want to talk about trades.
A three-part question. You already answered the other two parts.
We did not answer the third part to this question.
Yeah, that's what I was looking to hear.
I don't see a third part.
How is it possible that someone can get a lifetime stadium ban, Scott?
I have absolutely no idea. Hypothetically
speaking, what would it take?
I don't know. I've heard of scenarios happening. I mean, as a Bears season ticket holder, I do know that people get lifetime bans from Soldier Field. It's not me. I'm a season ticket holder and I go when I'm allowed to, because of COVID, not because of anything I did. The mayor of Chicago hates the Bears and hates football. So they don't want, she doesn't want the Bears there and she doesn't want anybody to go to the games. And so we haven't been allowed to go. But yeah, I don't know. I really don't know, man. I'm sure there are many scenarios, you know, maybe like fighting.
Have you ever heard of one or
throwing snowballs at Santa Claus?
I've heard in Philly that they shank people. True. But
by the way, Santa was drunk. This was 60 years ago and Santa was drunk. So just so you know. That's not a joke. He was drunk.
Anyway. It's not the worst thing I've heard from Philly fans. And I mean, I have been to the link.
Throwing dildos on the end zone doesn't do it for Bills fans. So I feel like the bar is pretty high to get thrown out with a lifetime ban.
Yeah, well, that's just football anyway. I don't know about the other sports. I wouldn't know. So I couldn't tell you.
I'm very disappointed I did not get an answer to this question.
But I want my money back.
I don't know. I don't know anything about formerly Comiskey Park, Chicago White Sox, south side of Chicago, my 21st birthday, them winning the World Series. I don't know anything about that. I was not there.
But now you need to continue.
They didn't. I'm just saying the White Sox won the World Series on my 21st birthday. That's just a fact. That has nothing to do with anything. I'm just stating facts.
And what, you streaked on the field or something?
Yes, that was it. Yeah, that would get me a lifetime. That would get me a lifetime ban from life, not just formerly Comiskey Park. So no, I don't even like baseball. I guess I'd choose Cubs over White Sox. I don't know. I don't know anything about baseball, so can't tell you.
Your taste have matured. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't know anything about baseball. Honestly, I was a Frank Thomas fan when I grew up. And I do have a cool story about that, but that's going to have to be for another time. But I literally was just in a bar with Frank Thomas like 6 months ago, talking to him. And then we pissed next to each other in the urinal. So that was cool. And he's huge, by the way. This dude's massive. I'm 6'5".
We're talking muscles here now. It's Connor.
I'm just
the biggest muscle.
The biggest muscle. Yeah.
So did you figure out how he got the nickname the Big Hurt?
Exactly. Yeah, I think he'd be banned from today's games. Let's just say that. He doesn't need one of those commercials he does. I forget what they are. Like the I don't remember. I don't know what those commercials are he does, but whatever.
I don't remember. I know what you're talking about. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Before, yeah.
It's like testosterone or something. I think he's got it covered. But anyway, what a way to finish. Drew, we had a great first, you know, like 68 minutes of the show.
Then I ruined it.
And then, you know, I mean, I'm not gonna say why or what changed, but you know,
69th minute.
The nice. 69th minute did us in tonight. We're definitely not gonna tell Outhouse about any F bombs. So yeah, no, actually, I don't think we had any. We kept it clean. We did good, Drew. We did good. All right. Well, with that, you know, as Russ says, that's the end of our show sheet. So that's the end of our show. Thanks to all the listeners for all the questions. Thanks to Rocky for making all those trades, so we had something to talk about.
Thanks to you.
Thanks
too
to for doing Dustin this. Church for giving us a main event that I wish I could go in more detail on, but I think it's just absolutely wild. And I think we got to get some more details on that. So maybe we're going to talk about that on Junkies actually.
Once he's out of rehab
next week, when he's released. That's right. He's been banned from trading. He made so many trades, MFL crashed. So, you know, it's been shut down. So for session 208 of Trade Addicts, thank you so much for Drew for being on. I appreciate you. You want to tell Absolutely. The people where they can find you and when and where?
Yeah.
And how? And
yeah,
why?
I get the distinct pleasure of being the second part of the Fantasy Timeline on Wednesday nights, 9 Eastern, right here on the DAP Network with Josh. He's at Real Fantasy TL, and I am at _DR_PRA. First thing that came to mind in 2009 or whatever when I made this thing, and I haven't found the time to change it. So I am not a doctor, if you're curious.
So, that's what I always think.
Which please don't I address love me as such publicly.
You're a dynasty doctor.
I will not respond.
There you go. That's the new Twitter handle.
It is
dynasty
not.
Doctor.
I'm pretty sure it's taken. Pretty sure probably. It's taken. But no, I love hanging out with you all and being able to pop into these periodically. Love listening to, you know, the content you guys put out each week, and it's a lot of fun to chop it up here and make some projections and see what happens. And can't wait for the folks that can make it next week when we do go live on Thursday night. Kind of track what's happening, give our thoughts and our opinions. Probably be some inebriated opinions on there, so that should be a good time. And then we'll wait the long summer to see how it all pans out.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Thanks for bringing that up. Live DAP Network show Thursday night, the 28th. We're going to have a lot of our amazing hosts, guests. We're going to have a special appearance from someone who only podcasts now once a year. So that'll be interesting. You'll have to tune in and find out who that is. Yeah, so we got a lot going on. Thursday nights, Junkies. So you got Tuesday nights, Wednesday nights, Thursday nights. You got the whole thing covered. It's a beautiful thing here at the DAP Network. Follow Rocky at Dynasty FF Addict. Follow Russ at Dynasty Outhouse. Follow myself at Scott_Sidlow. And with that, not half of Junkies, 2/3 of Junkies, part of Timeline, and sometimes backup Trade Addicts. Out.